While our children are picking up change for Change the World Sunday, we're going to greet our radio audience.
Welcome to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and you would like to help support it, your gift would be very much appreciated. Gifts may be sent to the Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour.
Or you can go to our webpage and click the giving button. Go right ahead.
We would like to thank Sandy Hall for sponsoring today in honor of Sharon's birthday. We do have a few announcements. On Saturday, October 16th, at 6 p.m., we will be having a family movie night. This movie will be centered around children, so please bring the family and enjoy the movie and fellowship at 333 South Chestnut Street. On Saturday, October 23rd, from 4 to 6, we will be hosting our monthly community meal. We will be serving chili and hot dogs free of charge. So if you need a good warm meal, come on down to 333 South Chestnut Street. Trinity United Methodist Church is again offering a chance for us to meet and bless our neighborhood as we offer a trunk and treat in our parking area on Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 8. Please join us for an evening full of fun. And now the choir will do a special music, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 15. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave us much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little.
The Word of God for the people of God. This week's message actually began last week with our message, What We Believe Makes a Difference. For if we as a congregation believe that we are slowly shrinking, that we have nothing to offer to our community, we will surely close our doors within a year. However, if we believe that God is present with us and intends on using us as a church in our community, and if we put God first in all we do, in our worship, in our ad council, in our decision making, and in our programming, God will indeed bless us, allow us to continue serving him and being a church family. So, beloved, keep in mind today, as we discuss new ways of giving, a new covenant principle on giving, new ways of worshiping, which those of you who know me really well, or those of you who got to know me a whole lot better last night, know that I focus on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my best friend in all the world. God the Father has indeed grafted me, adopted me, and is my Father. I didn't have an earthly father. God is my Father. Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Restorer, my all in all, means everything to me. But it is the Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts us by pricking our conscience and letting us know something is wrong. It is the Holy Spirit that pierces our heart with compassion for others. It is the Holy Spirit that wakes us up in the middle of the night with someone's face before us, and we know we are to pray. For the past, 8-10 years, God has woken me up between the hours of 3 and 5. As a general rule, I usually post on Facebook, how can I pray for you? And then I follow those people's prayers. I am going to begin a time of fasting. Since I'm diabetic, I can't fast with food so well. I can maybe have a shake for breakfast or something. But my fasting on the days that I have agreed to pray for our church is going to be staying off of social media on Sunday and Wednesday. My fasting will be not watching TV to come home when I debrief. My fasting will be spending time in the Word or in Bible study or in serving God's people during those times. And I am asking all of you, as we move forward through some difficult but rewarding times, that you would find a way to fast, or at the very least, pray for our church. When you become a member of a church, you take a vow, more so than just the words in the book of worship that say, will you renounce evil? Will you accept Jesus Christ and his power to help you to renounce evil? When you become a member of a church, you commit to that church your presence, your full presence when you come in these doors. Whether it is for worship, whether it is for a trustee meeting, whether it is for a staff pastor parish meeting, an ad council meeting, to prepare something in order to serve your God, you come putting your whole presence in. We are also challenged, and it is part of our vows, that we give our prayer, our presence, our service, our gifts, and our talents, and that we tithe towards the church. This is one of those messages, folks. And trust me, I'm not overly comfortable in giving it, because as people who know me really well, Terry does, money is not important to me. That's not why I got into ministry. But it does keep the church flowing. So we've got some challenges before you. In addition to 2 Corinthians 8, which you heard read this morning, and you will hear pieces of again, and Mark will have pieces on the screen. We have three other scriptures by God's spokesman, Solomon, Proverbs, Malachi, and Matthew. Solomon advises in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. The menach, a gratitude offering to God, commanded under the law, is a form of endless obligation. It would be well to give a portion of the produce, our support to God, or to the poor, representatives of Christ. Proverbs 3:9 is a feeling of endless obligation that I want us to move away from. Not giving out of obligation, not giving out of legalism, not giving out of the fact that this is what we were taught to do. I wish to move us forward into the blessing of giving. The people in Macedonia who were poor begged to be able to give to Paul, begged to be able to give to the church. They wanted that privilege to give to the church. And it is indeed a privilege when you think about the returns coming back to us. Malachi 3:10 throws down a challenge that I personally have accepted with this pledge card. With this, I have told my Lord that I am putting him first by doubling my tithe as of the first of the year. I give my tithe as a regular basis, plus I do offerings besides that. I buy things for the church. We all do. Every one of us do, and just donate it in. The offering is above your tithe. It is an additional form of blessing your church, blessing your community, blessing yourself through giving. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me in this. Try me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates. I have accepted this challenge several times in my life. When I first started giving a tithe, I can remember my first pastor, who is now my spiritual father and mentor, wanted people just beginning to tithe on a regular basis to offer testimony. I'm like, no way. I am terrified of speaking in front of people. Now you can't shut me up, but in Bible study Wednesday night, Carolyn agreed. She will offer testimony about a previous time they tithed and God took care of them. And I'm going to ask others of you, especially if you do take me up on this challenge of a new mindset in giving, that you will offer testimony to how the Lord has blessed your life. Karen told me about when Trinity First looked at installing that elevator back there. It seemed financially impossible to do that, but the pastor pressed forward. The trustees wanted to see it happen, and this church met that need. At the time, it might have only been a want. Now it is a need, because we are richly blessed with people who cannot walk up the steps joining us in worship, because we believed that God could do it through our congregation. And I have seen in a very short time with you how well you step up. When I asked for the first Sunday offering to go to UMCOR, to the hurricane victims, y'all stepped up and we got just shy of $300. When Bill Sparks came and ministered to us, he got an amount from the church, but it was a fourth of what he received. He ended up with $265. That is what this church does. When there is a need amongst us, I have complete faith that if someone in this church is hurting, if something has happened to their personal finances, to their home, I have no doubt in my mind that you will indeed step up to the challenge and provide for them. Matthew, in chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moss and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moss and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This speaks to something that I call a scarcity principle. When we become so focused, now, beloved, I'm going to ask you all to take a deep breath with me, literally. Open your minds and hearts as if the rest of what I am about to preach is simply information waiting for you to process at a later time. A scarcity principle is when we hold so tight to what we have that our hands cannot open to the blessings that God wishes to bless us with. A scarcity principle says there's not enough to meet our needs. We have to save up for a rainy day. but a mindset of abundance says, we trust the Spirit of the living God to provide for us. Now, the stewardship mindset says, spend wisely. Be good stewards of your resources. And I believe that full-heartedly. And I believe Trinity is a good steward of her resources. I also believe that a stewardship mindset is coupled with a mindset of abundance. Use wisely Holy Spirit-led stewardship. Relax, breathe, open your mind and your heart so that new things can happen, so that we can grow, so that we can come together on one accord. And no substantial amount will be spent unless we come together on one accord. Just as I fully believe that God my Father, Jesus my all in all, is calling this church to more fully embrace the Holy Spirit, I also believe that it is calling us to have a mindset of abundance. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. That does not mean I believe that money's just going to automatically start pouring in here, or some generous soul is going to come along and donate $25,000. I won't rule it out, though, because my God is a God of miracles. My God works in mysterious ways. So I'm not going to rule anything out like that. I am fully aware that we have some major challenges facing us. We have an air conditioner that needs to be replaced. We have some water problems, some drainage problems, which are going to cost a pretty penny and are going to require a lot of work on the part of our trustees. We need to restore our gorgeous stained glass windows. And while I am in the process of writing grants for these, and by the way, beloved, the foundation has responded back already about the grant. That's a good sign. So I ask for you to pray for Mark and I as we do the wording, as the trustees put in writing the things that need to be done to fix some of the drainage problems that we have. And as I enlist Judy in helping me with an historical grant, pray for us in that. And trust that the Holy Spirit will indeed provide. Beloved, I don't want you to think that these things don't weigh heavily upon me. In the United Methodist Church, the buck stops at the pastor's desk. In other words, pastor is responsible and has to answer to anything that happens in the church. But that is minor. That is minor. It is my love for Trinity herself that keeps me afloat, that keeps me wanting to include you in these blessings, that keeps me wanting to be energized every Sunday that I am up here. I love this church, and I have committed. These next 2 years, God told me, would be difficult, but we would have breakthrough along the way. What that breakthrough is, he didn't specify, but I do trust him. We have a general conference vote coming up. We have several expenses coming up, some of which will be met by grants, some maybe by a campaign, and some by the Holy Spirit blessing us through you and through others. I believe this with everything in me. I have committed to walk our church through the general conference vote onto the other side until we have decided what our identity and DNA is. And then if she still wants me at the helm, I will stay. And if she chooses something different, then I will honor that. But we will move together as one in everything we do with the Holy Spirit at the center. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul's exhortation to the church is that they excel in a lifestyle of generous giving. It starts out with telling us about the grace God gave the Macedonian churches and moves into the privilege of giving in the midst of severe trial. Listen closely. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. And in this, testing their sincerity, their love. It's almost as if the apostle is saying, you church have grown so much. I'm so proud of you. You are bearing fruit. Now, prove it. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in grace giving. Paul's saying, I'm not commanding you. I am offering you a blessed opportunity to show your love to God. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. The goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Equality is not giving on the basis of fairness. It is censoring our hearts, our mindset, and through prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit of the living Lord Jesus to reign, to be sovereign over us, to be sovereign over our giving, and to be sovereign over our direction as a church. When the widow gave her two mites, she gave it all, much different than giving 10% of an abundantly blessed life. My picture of equality is three people standing at a fence. One of them looking over the fence, one just making it to the top of the fence, and one not even being able to get halfway up the fence. And then you change it to everyone being able to see over the fence. That's equality. It's not fairness. That is equality. And now we'll move on to specific new covenant principles. Paul begins with the circumstances of the Macedonian church. They were not wealthy people, but they did not let their poverty exempt them from grace giving. Grace giving will be discussed later. But for now, it should be noted that the method that the Macedonians and later the Corinthians gave with was grace giving. Verse 2 informs us that out of their deep poverty, they were still willing to give liberally. So that we see the principle of giving something to the Lord's work is universal. It's not just for the wealthy. Their attitude. These believers looked upon giving as an opportunity to serve God. As such, they looked upon giving as something to be sought after, as a blessing to be received. Could you imagine what we could do as a church if our attitude was, when I give, not only will the church be supported, not only will the community be blessed, but God will open the floodgates and I will be blessed. Their motivation. The reason they were able to do what they did in verses 1 through 4 is because they gave themselves first to the Lord. This surprised Paul. He had not expected them to have their priorities in balance. When they dedicated themselves to the Lord, this made them sensitive to the will of God. When we put God first and foremost in our lives, it makes us sensitive to the will of God in giving, in decision making, and in serving. Their love was proven in generous grace giving. Their model for giving was Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus Christ left the riches, the abundant spiritual riches of heaven, and was incarnated in flesh, and was born to a family in poverty, he gave up everything. He gave up the most riches possible to come here to show us how to live with one another, to reconcile us to God the Father. Their pledge. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first to not only give, but also to have a great desire to do so. This is 2 Corinthians 10:11. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. This verse states that we need to be willing to make a promise and to fulfill that promise. Making a pledge is a biblical pattern, and the Corinthians followed that pattern. That commitment was between them and the Lord. No one else needs to know what your giving, what your promise is. But trust me in this, you will be abundantly blessed, and your relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit will grow when you honor your pledge to him. I'm not saying that we should give to the point that we struggle to pay our bills, that we take food off of our tables. I'm not saying that everybody should give fairly 10% of your first fruits. That is the Old Testament model of giving. The New Testament model, as we have explored today, is a generous, grace filled giving that we all examine our hearts and give out of our abundance what the Spirit has called us to give. Let me give you 3 points that I will close with. As you give, God will supply your needs. It is indeed more blessed to give than receive. How many times have you given to somebody, bought a meal, given a gift, cared for a person, and be flooded with the presence of God because you gave? I tell people, when someone wants to give to them and they feel awkward about it, don't rob other people of their blessing. And lastly, don't give unless you give willingly and joyfully. If you only have $10 to give, give that $10 and give it joyfully. Do not give 11 if you're going to resent it. If you're going to do so grudgingly, God does not want our grudgingly given gifts, and we won't be blessed by it. So if you have $10 to give, give that. Examine your heart and see if the Spirit isn't asking you one week to give 20. But whatever you do, do not give grudgingly. And now for our response.